Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I want to officially welcome everyone to episode 13, where today I will be continuing the conversation about autism in Hollywood. Now, authentic autism representation is so important in front of the camera, but it is also now behind the scenes of where autistic representation is just as important now more than ever. My next guest is an autistic filmmaker who is also an experienced writer, director, and editor who is forging his own path and who is showcasing a variety of talent in the entertainment industry today. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Ben Apchen. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Devin.
You're so welcome. Ben, I wanted to start off by asking, when did you first find out that you were autistic and what was your reaction to it?
So the first time I found out I was autistic was when I was a freshman in high school. Basically, my case manager at the time, who I had just met actually, was very blunt about it and told me, or she asked me rather, Ben, do you know what autism is? And I didn't. And she told me that it was this disability that just affects the way you learn, but it's nothing to be ashamed of. And the reason I found out from my case manager instead of like my mom was that my mom tried to keep it a secret from me because she was afraid that I might perceive it as a negative. And the story goes a little bit deeper than that, but basically I was diagnosed at age 2 and I knew I was in special education in middle school. That I knew about. The thing was, I treated it as, hey, I'm special. And I didn't see it as anything negative. In fact, I saw it as a positive because I realized that I was getting special services. I got extra help, like on tests. And I got to take a class called Study Skills, which allowed me to do my homework at school. It's kind of like a study hall class.
Or resource, for that matter.
Exactly. And I took resource in elementary school.
Nice. And so much like back in the high school days.
Yeah, this was like the early 2010s, by the way, was when I was in high school.
Fantastic. It's interesting because I was in that same position where I was diagnosed at a very, very, very young age. But I actually found out from my parents when I was 12. But I think no matter where you are in life, at some point, you're going to find out you're autistic. So whether you're 12,
oh, absolutely,
15, or freshman in high school, or even like 50 or 60, it's important to at least know your diagnosis and what autism is, so you're not wandering around for the rest of your life going, okay, why is it that I'm acting like this sometimes? And why is it that I'm not getting the best social cues or maybe not giving off the best eye contact? So thank
right.
you.
I was very self-aware at the time as well.
Really?
Yeah, like I knew there was something different about me. I just didn't know exactly why I was different. But I knew I was in special ed, so.
Same. It's like those questions that go off in your mind, like, okay, something is up. I'm not sure what it is, but something is up. Tell me a little bit about your life growing up on the autism spectrum. What was that like for you?
So growing up with autism was different than, say, a neurotypical upbringing. My parents were divorced, and they divorced long before I was diagnosed. Well, they separated, but they divorced later, but that's not important. The important thing is that I was with my mom half the time, my dad the other half of the time. And my upbringing was, my mom had me attend school in like in the outskirts of Los Angeles in Ventura County in Simi Valley. And that's where I pretty much grew up. And I made friends. I had some trouble with meltdowns sometimes. Like I had a lot of creative ideas, which intrigued a lot of people. In fact, people wanted to be friends with me because of that. And yes, I was bullied. And fact, I was bullied a lot. There was times where I got in trouble for fighting back, and I had they had
when
to
you're
explain
being antagonized, and then you're
when
thinking,
I was
oh,
being
Ben's
antagonized,
the bad guy.
I was called names. I was bullied a lot, and I want to share that one time when I was bullied. I went home and I was super upset, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of trapped. But then I had this idea. Maybe I couldn't beat up the bullies in real life, but I thought maybe I could write about it. Mm. And so I wrote a book series called Ben the Robot, which was
nice.
Basically a alternate version of myself that I built that went to school for me and beat up the bullies. And you know what's even funnier is I brought that book in to read to my, and this was in the third grade.
Ooh.
I brought it in to the class to read out loud. And I looked straight at the bullies when I was reading getting punched. And you want to know what happened? They never bullied me again.
I know. It's like they got the hint. Leave Ben alone. Leave that boy alone. So,
and that just, it felt empowering.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. And that's like the beauty of storytelling is that you're able to tell your story on your own terms and you're talking about it from a personal point of view. And so speaking about storytelling, tell me a little bit about what got you into filmmaking. What was your inspiration for starting to make films of your own? Was it a certain favorite film growing up? Was it a certain filmmaker that inspired you to make your own films?
That's a good question. I don't think it was a certain filmmaker. Rather, I guess it was my fascination around my VHS camera that my mom had. When I was 6 years old, I would like record things like specifically like towers up on the Verdugo Mountains. This was back when I was living in Burbank. I named the towers and then took the camera and made this film called Ben's Towers. Okay, this is Tower A, Tower B, etc. So that's kind of where my love for filming things started. And I guess I grew up with cartoons, and mm-hmm. I actually liked animation, and I didn't know how to animate, so what
reminds
I would do
reminds me
is,
of a friend that we both know.
I wonder what her name is. So I would record my plush animal toys in front of a VHS camera. I would actually get some of my friends from school to help me reenact these scripts I had written. And this goes back into like my love for writing too. It started out with wanting to be a writer, and then I wanted to be an actor, and then a director, and now I'm an editor. So that's kind of the journey I took from wanting to be a writer to wanting to be a filmmaker.
Fantastic. And it's so funny and so nostalgic that you bring up VHSs. This younger generation has no idea of the fun that they missed out.
It was so much fun.
Absolutely. And then the whole filters of like the video cameras back in the day, like it's not the same thing as actually carrying around an actual video camcorder from the 90s. This generation has absolutely missed out on all the fun back in the day. Just saying.
That's how all that footage was recorded on those bulky cameras. And this was back in a time in the early 2000s where, you know, cell phones were just either flip phones or you had a home phone or landline or, I feel old.
Ain't that the truth? So to all of you younger generation out there who use the whole flip phone and the camcorder effects, you're welcome. So Ben, being on the autism spectrum, there's a lot of our stories that have not been shared or made in today's mainstream media, but Hollywood and the entertainment industry as a whole have begun to take notice of our talents and expanding their neurodiversity efforts and opening the doors to our talent. As a fellow autistic adult and filmmaker, how do you react to the entertainment industry trying to be more inclusive to hear autistic voices?
Well, honestly, I think it's fantastic. I think it's about time, first of all.
Yes.
I mean, 10 years ago was around the time I graduated high school. It really felt lacking. And mm-hmm. I feel like the more individual stories out there that get put out there by people with autism, and not just on the camera, but off the camera too. For example, there's a film challenge I participated in called the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. This is my first year participating in it. And they started about I think 10 years ago. So 10 years ago is when I think autism acceptance and the neurodiversity movement really started to take off. I was just fresh out of high school and sort of coming to terms with, okay, what does it mean to be autistic? Can I grow out of this? Well, spoilers alert, no, you're born with it. You don't grow out of it. I learned that. And you have these abilities that are different from other people. You might think in a different way, or you might process stimuli in a different way, or it might be heightened, which is why meltdowns can sometimes occur. You know, it's just how I see it is autism is a different way of being. And back to your original question about Hollywood, yes, it's great that they're doing that. And I would say more of that, please. More authentic voices in Hollywood.
100%. I could not agree with you more on that. You know, especially since we're looking at a lot more autistic talent being shown in the media. And particularly, we're seeing a whole lot of people that have literally paved the way for so long finally get their time in the spotlight and getting their due. It's super important, you know, because people think, oh, autism, you can notice it from a mile away. That's not the case. Autism comes in a variety of different ranges. And that's why they call it the autism spectrum for a reason.
Right. So, and one of my favorite quotes is, if you met one person with autism.
You only met one.
With autism.
Exactly. Exactly. So people, take notice. Tell me a little bit about one of your characters, Buzzy the Bee, and the history behind this busy character, as I am noticing in your virtual background right now.
A lover of puns, I see.
I understand that you came up with this character of Buzzy when you were only 10 years old and has been the inspiration behind some of your projects. So tell us a little bit about Buzzy.
Buzzy the Bee is the character I started in the fifth grade, and it started with a plush animal toy, surprisingly. Back in the fifth grade, we had a school fundraiser to raise funds, I guess. And the more money raised, the higher the chance you would get called out of class to go and win the Buzzy the Bee plushie.
Oh.
So what ended up happening was me and a classmate got pulled out of class, and we had to choose like between certain wrapped gifts. And you could win the Buzzy the Bee plushie, which didn't do anything, but you got a special reward alongside of it, say like a lava lamp. Or you can win a slingshooting cow, which made noise and did something, but you didn't get that extra prize. So guess what happened? I didn't win the Buzzy. But the other person did. And on our way back to class, what happened was I said, hey, I want the Buzzy, but you could keep the lava lamp and I'll give you the slingshooting cow. So what happened was that was a trade that ended up changing my life. But Buzzy wasn't just a plush animal toy. I made him into my own character and he essentially became a part of me. It just wasn't a plush animal toy anymore. It was my character.
Nice. So he kind of became your trademark character in a way that you used.
Yeah, he became my persona in a way. It's where I got the username Buzz and Ben. Buzzy and Ben, and Buzzy being a part of me. And that also brings me to my virtual background here, which is this background I put together for an upcoming documentary feature film I am creating at the moment called The Buzz and Ben, documentary about my life growing up with autism, which shows some of that VHS camera footage that I mentioned earlier that I recorded from my past, which is kind of the inspiration to make a documentary film, was that this footage exists.
Absolutely. And I actually remember now about the documentary that you were making, because we met, for those of you that are curious out there, we met at a Love Up the Spectrum viewing party. And Ben actually showed me some of his archival footage growing up. And honestly, it is never an easy decision to share childhood home videos, especially for those on the spectrum, because it can be triggering to look at that if you're having meltdowns, if you're kind of in one of those moments. But to share it full heartedly and so open and so honestly, I really applaud you for that. And I know it's going to be a really good project for you to work on. So I'm excited to see that. So speaking of projects, your latest project, which we have to get to, Treats for Toonses, was just released this past week in collaboration with Danimation Entertainment for the annual Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. It's about the never-ending struggle for justice from a very hungry cat named Toonses in terms of cat treats, and the variety of routes that this very hungry cat takes to get his paws on those delicious treats. What was the inspiration behind this short? And another question, is your cat actually like that in real life?
What do you think? Yes, he is like that in real life. It's funny because that was the inspiration, was Toonses, which is, by the way, the name comes from the Saturday Night Live skit from the 80s or the 90s called Toonses the Driving Cat. My cat Toonses is obsessed with treats. So you say the T word, he comes running, and he'll pester you to no end until you feed him treats. And it seems like no matter how many you give him, it's not enough. So I thought the theme for the Disability Film Challenge this year was buddy comedy. So I thought, Toonses is kind of my buddy. I thought, and I wanted to join it for many years. I just never had the chance. So this year I finally was like, okay, let's do it. And I got Toonses involved. And then Danny was sort of an afterthought with her animations, Danny Bowman. And I thought it would just make it a little bit more lively, because when you combine animation and live action, it just gives it a distinct personality, in my opinion. And I think it turned out really well.
And it's fun to collaborate with other animators as well. JT, another friend of ours, I know that you probably have met him before, and we were asked by Danny to do a short for the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge called Supernatural Supreme. It's about two video gamers that I'm trying to figure out how they got knocked out by nachos in the first place, but it's pretty much a video game gone completely horribly wrong. I'm so glad that I did not enter this year just because of your film. The only question I have to ask about it is Toonses actually thinking about blowing you up with an actual military tank if you don't get his treats?
I hope not. But no, Toonses loves me. He wouldn't do that.
Just in case.
He's so sweet.
One eye open tonight, so you know how to brick it.
I don't know where the tank idea came from. I'm just like, what if he blows me up with a tank and tries to get the treats for himself?
Then you have a situation on your hands.
Okay, one of the requirements was that one of us had to wear a hat, and he wore a little military hat outfit. That was an optional requirement, but I ended up putting the two other requirements were a photograph or photographs, which I put in the beginning of the film, as well as a bowl, which is what I put his treats in. So it worked out.
So in the end, he got the treats, but you never know. I mean, he could be on you right now during this podcast asking for more. So, Ben, you have now had at least a decade of work under your belt in terms of directing, writing, editing, acting, animating, programming. I mean, what have you not done? I know that you've mentioned that you are currently working on a documentary, which I've seen at least a few snips of it. It's really good. What type of film work do you want to accomplish in this next decade? And how will your past work influence your up-and-coming projects?
I think documentary film is great. I don't envision myself doing it. It's kind of funny because I really wanted to, like, if I could edit, like, Netflix's Love on the Spectrum, if I was an employee at Netflix, but I really love narrative film as well. I went to film school last decade, graduated with a BFA. It's kind of funny because I went to film school, not really for the BFA, but to make connections. And then it's funny because I met Danny outside of school, because I was a mutual friend with her on Facebook. And long story short, I met her at one of her events, and then she invited me to more events and expanded my network.
That's right. You know, work with what you got in this network. And just in case for those of you that do not know, we actually know each other through a mutual friend of ours, Danny Bowman, who has been a previous guest on this podcast before. Shout out to Danny if you're listening or watching. So my last question, Ben, is, as I mentioned earlier, Hollywood is beginning to open its doors to neurodiversity, and in particular for the both of us, autistic talent. Now, there's a lot of work to do in terms of breaking down doors to the industry so that the next generation of autistic filmmakers don't have to. But what would you like to say to the entertainment industry in terms of the inclusion of autistic talent?
Don't underestimate us. We have a lot of talent, and you might see the word disability and shudder in fear. Well, some people on the spectrum, and this isn't just people on the spectrum, but with people with disabilities in general, physical, mental challenges, doesn't matter. We are great people to hire. Just look at some of the work coming out recently, like a good show, I would think, Netflix's Atypical, which has autistic yes. actors. They don't have an autistic character as the main lead, mm-hmm. but they do have background actors who play, that I happen to know too, who do a really good job as side characters. But if you really want a good example is Freeform's Everything's Gonna Be Okay. As of this recording, I think they have the best portrayal of autistic character. And another character I like is Abed from Community. But that's just me.
Absolutely. Both of those shows are great representations. And so is Love on the Spectrum as well. Well, Ben, I have to thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for sharing your story, being a filmmaker so openly and honestly. And what you're doing is trailblazing for the next generation so that they can just easily walk through. Your talents and your work for the autism community is much, much, much appreciated.
Well, thanks for having me, Devin. And can I do a shameless plug real quick? You can find me on my website at buzzandben.com, BUZZ, the letter NBN.com. If you want to check out some of my work.
Absolutely. Buzzandben.com. Also, make sure to check out Ben's hilarious short Treats for Toonses that is currently ongoing right now for the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. It is in collaboration with Danimation Entertainment. If you like what you heard on this episode and want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you next time right here on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.